Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return unto the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. And then look in chapter 23, verse 10. And the word of the Lord says, but he knoweth the way that I take. This is Job speaking. He knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Glory to God. To be acquainted with God. How can we be acquainted with God? God is so awesome. God is so great. God is so powerful. We cannot imagine the greatness of our God. We cannot imagine his awesomeness. How he could speak and this whole universe come into play. When we look at the stars and we see the beauty of the stars, the Bible said he called them by their names, each one of the stars, trillions of stars, he knows them by name. He brought forth the sun, he brought forth the moon, he brought forth the planets. How great is our God, and how can we as human beings be acquainted with this great and mighty God that we serve? How can we know this great and mighty God that we serve? Glory to God. Can we even think in our minds how we could know this great and mighty God? Our minds cannot to come by our spirits. It's our spirits. It's in the spirit that we could know God. It's only in the spirit, because he has made that possible. Acquaint yourself with God. Being acquaintance with God is to know God. That's what it really means in a nutshell. To know God. It's not a casual relationship. It's not a hi on Sunday mornings that you come to church and say, hi, God. I love you, God. See ya. It's not that kind of relationship. It's a relationship day in and day out. It is a relationship that is a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. It's not a casual relationship. And it's only through Christ Jesus, the Son of God, that we could come into a relationship with the triune God. He is the way in to the relationship. He is the path you take to the relationship. We cannot have a relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. That's why all the false religions are so dead. That's why there's so much death in the religions of the world. Because they don't have the pathway to God. They don't have the way to God. The only way to God is Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come unto the Father except by me. And so it's through Christ Jesus that we have a relationship with Father God. We are brought close to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For where there is the shedding of the blood, there is remission of sins. We cannot have a relationship with God except our sins are washed away. We cannot have a relationship with God except we are born again. And so that's where we start. That's the foundation. That's the way we start to have a relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. We must, in this relationship, it has to be based on love and trust. You cannot have a relationship with somebody that you don't love, not a good one anyway, and you can't have a relationship with somebody that you do not trust. You must love God, and you must trust God. Because if you don't trust him, you're not going to serve him. Amen? Hallelujah. And we see in the Bible, even before Jesus came, we see people in the Bible who had a relationship with God. And you think, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. How can they have a relationship with God? The reason is because God is a covenant God. And there's no covenant outside of blood. So even in the Old Testament, there is a blood covenant. Even though it's not the covenant of Jesus, which is a far better covenant established on better promises, there was still a blood covenant. And I was thinking to the Lord, I said, Lord, who really had a relationship with you? Like you wanted in the Old Testament. And yes, we can have relationships with God in the New Testament, and we see many. But I'm talking about Old Testament. Because when I study the Word, I study Old Testament and New Testament. You know, a lot of people preach New Testament only. Not so with me. I always go to the Old Testament. People who do Bible study with me, they know that. I love the Old Testament. So I always bring the Old Testament into every sermon I preach. Even if it's New Testament, I go back to the Old Testament. Who in the Old Testament had a relationship, and there were many, but who particularly had a relationship with God before the New Covenant? And the Lord said to me, Abraham did. I said, oh, yes, Abraham did. Amen. Abraham loved God, and Abraham trusted God. He trusted God, and that's where the relationship started. God promised Abraham a great promise that he would be the father of a multitude. When this man was old and his wife was old, past the age of childbearing, and God said to this man, you are the father of a multitude. In you will I bless all the nations of the world. God said, look up in the sky, and if you could count the stars, you can count the multitude that I will give to you as your children. This man is 75 years old. His wife has passed the age where a woman will get a child. She's been barren all her life. And here Abraham believed God. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was great in faith, giving glory to God, that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. When God has given you a promise in his word, or through prophecy, or speaking to your heart, God is able to perform that promise. For he cannot fail. He cannot fail. Whatever words the Lord has spoken to you will come to pass. And no devil in hell can stop. And Abraham believed God. Of course, we know the story, and Sarah got into the way. And Sarah called her maiden to bring seed to Abraham. And it caused a lot of problems. And we're even seeing the problems today in the Middle East. The problem started back then, but it continues even in our generation, and it's always on the news. But God said, no, that was not the promise that I gave you. That was man-made. That was something you thought up. I didn't give you that promise. I gave you a promise that Sarah shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And it's in Isaac, God specifically said, in Isaac, I will bless the whole world. All the nations of the world will come to me through the seed of Isaac. And God kept his promise, even though they tried to fold it up. And it was folded up for a little bit. But God kept his promise to Abraham. And that was a blood covenant. God entered into the covenant with Abraham, and put Abraham to sleep, and walked between the halves of the heifer in the blood, and gave the promise to Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. Can you imagine being called, a human being, being called the friend of God? God called Abraham his friend. Amen. Because Abraham trusted God. Abraham pleased God. His faith pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That they that cometh to him shall believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Abraham pleased God. He walked with God. And he loved God, and he trusted God. But God also trusted God. Abraham. Not only, you see, in covenant, it's not one-sided. We feel that God is supposed to do everything for us. We get lazy and fat, and we get full of the word, and we sit back, and we expect that God is going to do everything for us. God is not going to do everything for us. We have a part to play. We have to do something. We have to get up and show God that we are worthy of his trust. Amen? Abraham trusted God, but God also trusted Abraham. That's why God could take Abraham on Mount Moriah and tell him to kill his only son. Now, God gave him this son through promise and through covenant. And God said, through this son, I will bless the whole world. And we know through the New Testament how God did it. See, the New Testament explains the Old Testament. So we see in Galatians how God did it. But, glory to God, God said, go and slay your son as a sacrifice. God never allowed, never will allow human sacrifice. The only human sacrifice that God had prepared before the foundation of the world was Jesus Christ. So God would not have expected, would not have wanted, should I say, Abraham to kill the only son that he told him he will give him in his old age after his wife was barren so long. But Abraham trusted God. So Abraham took the son and put him on the altar to slay him as a sacrifice to God. And God knew that Abraham would have done it if he required it. He trusted him so much. And that's why God prepared a lamb in the thicket. A ram was caught in the thicket. And that ram was Jesus Christ. That ram represented Jesus Christ. Here, you do not have to slay your son. I will slay mine for the sins of the And Jesus was called the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Abraham passed the test. Abraham passed the test. God knew that he could trust Abraham with what he had promised. Not only could he trust Abraham with a son that would be the heir of all things, but he could trust him with jewelry. He could trust him with silver. He could trust him with gold. He could trust him with money. If God can't trust you in spiritual things, God can't trust you in wealth. A lot of people, I want this, I want that, I want the third. If God can't trust you in the true mammon, which is the word of God, the life in the spirit. If he can't trust you in the spirit, don't think he's going to trust you with giving you a lot of wealth. Because you will not be able to handle it. You will not be able to handle it. The enemy will come in and take it from you. The enemy will come in and use it to take you away from God. We want so many things in the natural. We want so much money and things. Things. But God has to trust you in spiritual things first before he could give you natural things. Can we be trusted? Can we be trusted with the things of God? Because Abraham, God knew that Abraham would take his wealth to help others. God blessed him. He became the richest and most famous man of his time. The same thing God did to David. Because David had a heart for God. He wanted to know God. Do we want to be acquainted with God? Do we want to really know God? That should be our quest in life, to truly know God, to pursue God, to come after God, to dog his steps, whatever it takes to know God. And it's because we don't know God that we make all the mistakes and all the problems in our lives. That's why the enemy comes in to destroy us, because we don't make an effort to know God. Because if you know God, you're going to know his word. You cannot separate God from his word. There is no way you can separate God from the word of God. This word, we see here in this Bible, it's life. It's pure life. It's riches. It's glory. It's everything you could ever dream of to want or to know this side of heaven. The word of God will take you to heights that you will never ever think you can go. The word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, in your lifestyle will take you far, far above anything you could ever think of. Because the word of God is completely opposite to the world. Anything that the world puts up there is an abomination to God. Abomination to God. The world and the word of God are on two different sides of the fence. You can't live in this world and be of this world and think like the world and do like the world and expect to live in kingdom blessings. The world will try to squeeze you into its mold. It will try to tell you what to do. It will tell you to get into debt. Get it now. It's beautiful. pay later. But when later comes, you don't have the money. And the creditors are knocking on your door and calling you, and you have to slam the phone down. The world tries to tell you to do certain things. Cut corners. The Word of God tells you how to live in kingdom principles. And when you live in the Word of God, and you move in the Word of God, and you speak the Word of God, you are going to be successful. You may not have $1 million on the bank, but you are more successful than Michael Jackson. You're not going to be in the newspapers and the headline news molesting a child. You're not going to have cocaine on your coffee table and be addicted and be like a slave to the thing. You're not going to be drinking and hurting people around you, because alcohol is the demon. Do you know how many wealthy people are in hell today who will give anything to come back and sit where you are sitting right now? For they're screaming in hell. They had all the wonderful things of this world. They had the Mercedes, they had all the Rolls Royce, they had servants, they had everything they wanted. They jet here and they jet there. But if they don't know Jesus, if they don't know our Father God, if they don't know the Word of the living God, they end up in hell. And they're screaming and they're saying, if only I could go back. But it's final. Because we have rights in this world. How many of you know it? We were born into this world. We have more rights into this world than Satan has. What Satan has is what he stole from Adam. He had no rights into the world either. Satan had no rights. He is not a human being. He was not born on this planet. He was created by God as an angel and fell. He had no rights. We have rights. We have been born on this planet. We have rights. Just like you're an American, you have rights in this United States of America. They cannot deport you. You are a citizen of this country. They can deport somebody coming from another country if they're not a citizen. But they cannot deport you. Why? You are a citizen of United States of America. You have rights. You have rights. The enemy has no rights except what he stole and what you give him. He has no rights. But when you get to hell, you lost. All your rights. Because you are not in where you were born. You are on foreign territory, if you please. And the demons have rights. And they can do you as they please. And there's not even, you cannot even say, Jesus, help me. Like you can here. You say, Jesus, help me here. The devil got you to his foot on your jugular. He could got you counted down to die. And you say, Jesus, help me. And he's got to move his foot. Resist the devil and he will flee. He has no other alternative. He has got to flee. The reason why is because the Word of God said it. And if the Word of God said it, he has to obey it. He has no choice. When you cast out a devil, and that devil refused to come out of a person that you cast out? You say, in the name of Jesus, you come out. If he refuses, Holy Spirit takes over. And he is sent to the abyss. And he's scared. He does not want to go to the abyss. So that's why he has to come out in the name of Jesus. He doesn't want to go through dry places. But we have to know who our God is. We have to know who our God is and what he can do for us. It's not just enough to know him. We have to know what he is capable of doing for us. For he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think or ask, according to the power that works in our life. Our God is great and awesome. He is mighty. When we look at the ocean, we look at everything that we could see. The trees, everything. Who made all this? I know they're teaching the children in school about evolution. But that is the most silly, stupid argument I could ever have ever heard. Everything just happened. I mean, it just happened. When things just happen, there's no order. The universe has order. Night follows day. Day follows night. Seasons in order. Vegetation, order. Seed time, harvest, order. Everything God does is order. Heaven is run in order. That's why you can't have a rebellious person in heaven. You can't have a rebellious person. People say, well, God who is so loving, yes, he's loving. And so kind, yes, he's so kind. How can you allow somebody to go to hell? Do you know one unsaved person with rebellion could go into heaven and turn heaven upside down? And God would have to do the same thing like he did to Lucifer, fling him out. It's order. It's perfection. It's perfect love. It's perfect peace. It's perfect joy. It's perfect kindness. It's perfect goodness. There's no impulsiveness. You don't be impulsive. You don't have the flesh nature. Anybody with the flesh nature in heaven will not feel at home. You'll run as far away from God as you can get, even though you're in heaven. Because you are out again of where you should be. You're out of your element. We can't live in the sea. And a fish cannot live on the land. You know that? We going down into the sea and saying we're going to live like a fish, we'll soon know that we're not a fish. And a fish coming out from the water and living and saying, I'd like to live like those human beings, he'll soon know that he's not a human being. You cannot live outside your element. That's so sad when Christians who know Jesus, who serve the Lord, who are filled with his spirit, living out of their element. You cannot be happy. You cannot be happy. If you really know the Lord, you cannot be happy living outside your element. We must live in where God has put us. We must walk in the anointing that God has given to us. We must work in the gifts that God has given to us. Then we'll find peace. Then we'll know God. Then we'll keep getting more and more acquainted with him. Through the word of God and through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings the word and makes it alive to us. It's Holy Spirit that takes that that we can think, oh God, why am I making all these mistakes over and over again? Holy Spirit, allow Holy Spirit to come in and change your heart. Amen. Holy Spirit wants to do it. Holy Spirit will do it. Amen. We will see that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will follow on to know the Lord and be acquainted with Him. If you're acquainted with somebody, you can even tell what they'll say under certain circumstances. You can tell how they'll act in any given situation. Because why? You know that person. I know you, like you would say, a wife would say, I know what your father's going to do. Exactly what he's going to do. Because you know that person. And God wants us to know Him intimately like that. He wants to have that relationship with Him. You know, we shouldn't have to wait till we get to heaven to really know our Father. Amen. We should know our Father that when we get to heaven, we can go, there He is, and run right up to Him. Amen. We shouldn't have to, oh my God, there's God. We should be able to be prepared enough that when we look on the glory of God on the throne, Amen. That we will go, oh, isn't He beautiful? Isn't Jesus altogether lovely? Isn't He lovely? The Bible says He would be admired by the saints. We're going to just admire Him. We won't be going. You know who are the ones in heaven that do like that when they first get to heaven? People that just got saved in the nick of time. Didn't have a chance on this side of heaven to know God. They probably got saved on their deathbed. Somebody came and said, you know, you're dying. And they said, Jesus saved me. Those people have a little bit of pulling back when they get to heaven because they don't know God. But they will be taught. And they will be brought along like little babies. And they will learn like you are learning right now. And they will learn the first rudiments of the kingdom of God. And then, when they know that, they can go to the throne like everybody else, and go, oh, isn't He lovely? Those are the people who will have a little bit of drawing back. I can't go to the throne. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. I am not worthy. But elders in heaven will say, you're worthy because of the blood. You're not here by accident. Nobody is in heaven by accident. No person, no soul is in heaven. The angels cannot make mistakes with a soul entering the eternal kingdom. They must know, yes, you are saved. You are saved. We're taking you up. They cannot make a mistake. Neither can they make a mistake taking a soul that knows Jesus to hell. They cannot. Because there's two pulls in the universe. A pull up and a pull down for a soul. The Bible said the soul that sins, it shall die. If you have sinned and you have not repented, you will be pulled down to the pit. There's no, you cannot even scream and carry on. You will go to the pit. But if you know Jesus and you, the blood of Jesus cleanse you from your sin, you're going up. And there's no mistake. No mistakes can be made for a soul. Because souls are precious to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Becoming acquainted with God. Hallelujah. We need to know the Word. We need to get into the Word. Hallelujah. Paul said, if Philippians, he said, that I might know him. Philippians 3 and 10. That I might know him. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. That I might know him. You'd say, well, the Apostle Paul, greatest Christian, and I know a lot of Christians admire the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. He said in Philippians 3 and 10, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, we want to know him in the power of his resurrection. That sounds good. That sounds real good. And it is. Glory to God, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. But we also got to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Because only when you suffer with him, what? That you're going to reign with him. It's only when you suffer with him. When you suffer persecution, when you suffer, people say bad things about you because you're a Christian. Don't accept you because you're a Christian. Take advantage of you because you're a Christian. Taking attacks when the devil comes to attack you. In the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might know him. It balances out. Because when you know him in the power of his resurrection, you will know him in the fellowship of suffering. Because once you start to be used by God, the enemies are going to come out of the woodwork. So you will. It's not if or but or maybe. If you know him in the power of his resurrection, you will know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You're going to get rejection. You're going to get people talking about you. It comes, as Howard Brown says, it comes with the territory. But you know, the more that happens, the more you'll walk in the power of his resurrection. The Bible says here in this same passage I just read, you will decree a thing and it shall establish. So I start decreeing things. I decree in the name of Jesus. I decree in the name of Jesus. You decree it. Your words have more power than you ever will know. You don't know the power that your words have over your circumstances. You speak life into your circumstances. Start speaking life over your family, over your husband or wife, over your children, over your finances, over your health, over every single thing of your life. Speak life. For Jesus said, the words, my words, are spirit and they're life. So when you speak the word over yourself and over your family and over your friends, you are speaking life. And if anybody speaks words of death over you, don't accept it. Send them back. Reject them. Anybody come and say things that they shouldn't say and speak lies and death over you, just say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I reject those words. They do not come to me. I do not embrace them. I do not take them into my spirit. I send them back in the name of Jesus. And don't receive them. Because God's word is the final answer. Glory to God. And you are who God says you are. And you can do what God says you can do. Don't take what people will say about you and go and cry and whine. God doesn't want that. God wants you to speak word, his word over you. I'm a child of God. I'm blessed by the Father. Glory to God. When he sees me, he's delighted in me. Yes, sir. Shut up, God. Hallelujah. He's delighted to see me. He wants, when I come into his presence, he is excited over me coming to his presence. Glory to God. Don't accept negative from people, because the devil uses people. The devil will use people to put you down and to make you think you're less than who God says you are. But you are all that God says you are. You're a king and a priest unto God. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of Zion. And what God says about you is who you really are. Hallelujah. Don't take anything. People will try to discourage you. But you know who you are, because you know God's word. And what God's word says is what so. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let the poor say, I'm rich. I remember Norva Hayes said he didn't have any money in the bank, and he kept saying, I got thousands in the bank. I got thousands in the bank. And his secretary said, well, Mr. Hayes, we don't have anything in the bank. He said, I got thousands in the bank. And do you know? He's a millionaire today. Because he spoke what God said. Let the poor say, I am rich. You may not have a million, but you're not no pauper either. Because he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Oh my God. What is the curse of the law? Spiritual death. Curse of the law. Sickness. The curse of the law. Poverty. Do you think the children in Africa that don't have food with bloated bellies are bringing glory to God? No. It's when we help them then that brings glory to God. Amen. But poverty really doesn't bring glory to God. Because when you're poor and you don't have anything, you can't give. You can't give me what you don't have. And God wants us to give. So he wants to bless us with seed to give. Not to hoard it, but to give. That's why we should always give. Somebody doesn't have something, take it out your pocket and give it. That's the way I live. That's the only way I could live. I can't live any other way. Amen. And I know I'll never want. I always say that. I've said that for years. Lord, I'll never want. I'll never, 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 never want. I'll never lack. I'll never lack. Because it's a lifestyle. We must feed on the word. Allow Christ to become real to us. Let him walk off the pages of the word of God to us. He's not a flannel graph Christ. He is a real, living, pulsating person. So that when we study the word, allow Holy Spirit to make Jesus real to us. He wants to come off those pages into our hearts, into our lives, to change our lives. Psalm 119 says, I have hid thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, when the word is hid in our hearts, we don't do the sinning. You know that? We don't do the sinning. Because the word is in our hearts. And the word will energize us. And the word will set us free. Amen? Glory to God. The word of God will be his delight. We need to speak. Act out the word. Act out the word. to be acquainted with God. We must know the Word. We must live in the Word. And we must allow Holy Spirit to take that Word and move it in our lives. Move us in the direction that God wants us. The Word of God will direct us in the path that God wants us, in jobs that He wants us, in promotions that He wants us. You know, the Word of God is not only spiritual. It comes into the natural. It helps us in the everyday living. It helps us to live victorious lives in Christ, that others can see it. You know, if you're walking in the Word, I'll tell you, people may not tell you, but they can see it. They can see it. They can see the Word at work in your life. They may not tell you, but they observe it. The Word will move you in different directions. The Word will put you in a job where you can bring glory to God. You may want another job across the street, or it's over here, or it's over there. Like Jesus said, you know, we say the kingdom of God is over here, and the kingdom of God is over there, and the kingdom of God is over there. And Jesus said, no, it's not over here and over there and over there. The kingdom of God is within you. Wherever you go, you are taking the kingdom of God. You take the Word of God everywhere you go. You will be victorious over your enemies where you go. You will stamp upon the devil everywhere you go, because you are walking in the Word of God. Holy Spirit will direct that Word like a laser is directed to the target. We don't know who we're dealing with when we deal with God. We're dealing with an awesome being. And I said the other day, I said, Lord, you are everything. You own the whole world and everything in it. And you are just awesome. Ah, and you love me. I'm really loved by this great and awesome God. You're really loved by this great and awesome God. That can do anything. There's nothing that the devil can bring to your life. No circumstance, no problem that God can't deal with and bring you out of it. And He loves you. He really, really does love you. Isn't that wonderful? To know that this great and awesome God, there's nobody above Him. There's nobody with God quality like He does. There's no other God. He owns the universe. He owns the world. He owns the galaxy. He owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He's in love with you. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome to me. I tell you, that's awesome to me. To know that this God that owns everything and is everything, and there's no power above His. And that when the devil comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a stand and put him to flight. And he could only do so much as what God allows him to do anyway. When God says, stop it now. You bothered my child enough. Go, 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 go. He has to run off like a puppy dog. I hope y'all are getting this today. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Knowing God. Knowing God is going to bring boldness. I know who I am. Sometimes people might even think, she's slightly arrogant. It's not being arrogant. It's knowing who you are in God and being bold in our God and be able to speak a word in season to those that will hear. You just talk to me about Jesus. Just mention something and I'll start preaching to you. That's how my Bible study got started. Every day at lunch, the girls, we all sit together in the cafeteria. I start preaching to them. So one day, one of the girls said, well, why don't you have a Bible study? And that's how it started. Because every day we preach to them. Just get me started and I'll preach. She works for me. She knows. Don't I preach to you all day? Every day. Every day. She sit next to me. Oh. I'll stop. I preach to all of them in there. Preach to every one of them in there. Every day. Every day. There's not a day that I go in there that I don't have some kind of conversation about Jesus. Even the doctor I work with has felt the Spirit of God. He's a Hindu. Didn't he? I prayed one day and he started crying and running to his office. Spirit of God came on him. Spirit of God came on him. He didn't know what to do with himself. He really did not know what to do with himself. He was like, he took off to his office because the Spirit of God came down so strong while he was praying. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. And God will use you to even bring your boss and people above you in jobs. You have to be filled with the Word of God. That as soon as somebody says something, the Word spouts out. You're full with it, so it has to spout out of you. Glory to God. The boldness that will come. In Acts 4, when the disciples were beaten. Remember after they did that miracle at the beautiful day, the beautiful, that's right, the beautiful gate of the temple, the cripple. They took them in, put them in prison, beat them. Told them not to preach in that name. But they went back out. And they found them in the temple preaching again. These are the bold disciples that were the very scared disciples. Same group of people. Then Jesus was crucified. They locked themselves in a room for fear of the Jews. Same group of people. After the day of Pentecost, Spirit came. Holy Spirit came. You have Holy Spirit just like they had Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came and they started pushing their chests out. We are the disciples of Jesus. And when they tell them not to speak in that name, they said, we're not careful even to listen to you. Because we can do nothing without that name. For as there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they saw their boldness. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 4, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. When you're with Jesus, you're going to be bold. You're going to speak. You don't care who it is. If it's a president. If I could get a chance to talk to President Bush, I would say, President Bush, Allah is not our God. Allah is a false deity that the Muslims embrace. Please do not ever say on public television, right, it's the same God. I would personally tell President Bush that if I had a chance to even talk to him for 1 minute. I would say, President Bush, I would say, President Bush, you are wrong. It's not the same God. Don't put people wrong. I've been praying about that. I said, God, he's a good man. And I love President Bush. But in that, he is wrong. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know why he's wrong? I believe why he's wrong. He doesn't know your word. He's born again. I really believe President Bush is born again. But he doesn't know the word. Somebody need to teach President Bush the word of God. Sit him down. I believe he would listen. I really believe that if somebody put, sit down President Bush and say, President Bush, I need to put you straight on this. I believe President Bush would listen. Because he's not a proud man. It's pride that stops us from serving God. Do you know that? It's pride that's going to send us to hell. Because we feel that, oh, I don't want that. I don't need that. But that's exactly what you need. It's pride. And I don't see him as a proud man. I believe if somebody really told him the truth, he will hear. One more point and I'm done. Job 23:10, that verse that I just read. But he knoweth the way that I take when he have tried me. We will be tried. Our faith will be tried. Our faith will be tried. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. You have to have your faith on the line sometimes. That's how God tried Abraham. And you know what? God also tried David. Amen. Why did David number Israel? David numbered Israel because Satan was at his right hand telling him. And that was a test. That was a test. The Bathsheba issue was not a test. That was his own lust. That's right. That was his own lust. That was not a test. But the number in Israel was a test. You'll be tested. Your faith will be tested. There'll be times when you won't have any money. And you got a family to feed. And you don't know where you're going to get the money from. But that's the time you should give glory to God. Because you know that he's fixing to do something. He's fixing to bring you through. He's fixing to open the windows of heaven. And the devil will scream in your ear, you can't tithe. How can you tithe when you can't even make your payments? How can you tithe when you don't have food? That's the time to defy Satan's suggestions and say, I'm giving. You know how many testimonies I've heard when men and women gave the last penny they have. And then God bring an avalanche of money to them. I've heard so many times. Why? The kingdom of God is not like the world. The world said, hold on to the $5. You only got $5. One girl that I invited to church the other day, I didn't even know this girl. I'm trying to be quick because I want to get finished. I did not know this girl. I used to talk to her over the phone because she was an employee at UCH, and I had to call UCH to get records for our doctor. And then patients come in, and they had records at UCH. We had to keep calling, you know, could you fax us? Can you fax us? And I would talk to this girl all the time. Katrina knows too because she used to talk to her too. And we would talk to this girl. And I didn't know who the girl was. I said, hi. And she would say, hi, and we'd talk. And one day I was going through the hospital, and this girl came up to me and introduced herself. She said, I had such a desire to know who you are. She didn't know it was the person that she talked to at the office. She said, but I see you coming in here all the time. And she said, just a desire to introduce myself to you and to know you for some reason. I don't know why, but. So I said, my name is Pauline, and she told me her name. I said, you are the lady that I talked to on the phone. She said, you're the lady that I said, yeah. She said, no wonder. She said, I don't know. I just felt I had to know you. So I invited her to church. She came to church. So she called me about 2-3 days after. She said, you know what? I have a testimony. I said, what? She said, I had $6 in my purse, and it was the only $6 that had to last me the whole week. And she said, when the offering plate came by, she said, I kept thinking, I got a dollar bill and I got five. Which do I put in the plate? She said, but she had a great desire to put the five, even though she knew at least five can get more, could buy more than one. She put the five in. She said, the next day, somebody gave her $50. The next day, somebody that owed her some money paid her. And then the next day, an insurance company sent her a check for over $200 in 1 week. And she said, you know, insurance companies don't give you no money. So I don't. They don't give you money, do they? She said, I don't know where that $200 come from, but they said that they overpaid for something, and she said they sent me a check. I said, you see how it works, sister? I say, you see, you give the five. I said, if you had given the one, this probably wouldn't have happened. But you gave the five. And all this came in that 1 week. Glory to God. God wants us to live by faith. The hay and the stubble will be burnt up. What you do, God is going to judge what you do here. The hay and the stubble is going to be burnt up. Put fire next to hay and stubble, and you will see that you have a bonfire. But the precious stones, the gold and the silver, the good works you do, your lifestyle, will also come to the fire. Because the Bible says your works are going to be tried. And so, when you do works from your heart, out of a love and trust to God, and pursue Him, the fire will take the silver, the gold, and the precious stone and purify it. And you'll be able to see your own reflection in the silver. God is doing a work today. God is preparing us for the coming of Jesus. He's preparing us. We are in the last days, brothers and sisters. We are in the days to appear. He's going to split the eastern sky, and He's going to come and say, come up hither. And He's not going to come as a thief in the night for us. He's going to come as a thief in the night for those that don't know Jesus. Those that don't know Jesus, He will be like a thief. We will know. We will hear the trump of God. We will get the alarm. We will know time. It's time. Because every angel throughout the world will hear Gabriel's trumpet. And they will blow their trumpet. So every angel that is earthbound will blow trumpet. Yet the redeemed of the Lord caught up in the heavens to meet the Lord in the air. He's getting us ready. He's getting us ready. Be prepared. There's going to be more persecution. But we could always remember, take note of the three Hebrew boys. He said, we will not bow. And our God will save us. And even if He does not bow, King Saul, the fire, will not feel the fire. You will not feel the fire, even if, you know, that's not. Right now, there are more people being martyred than ever before. Throughout the church age, 2,000 years of the church age, and people were martyred. There are more people martyred in our generation than all 2,000 years ago. Just like knowledge has increased in the last 100 years more than all the thousands of years before, we're living in the computer age. It's the same with the martyrs. All those years, people were martyred, yes, here and there, but not in concentration. In Ethiopia, people are being martyred by the thousands. In Nigeria, and you know who is at the hands of mostly? The Muslims. The Muslims are martyring Christians. How could their God be our God? How can they? How can their God be our God? Same God? How can it be? No. They are martyring Christians. The Muslims. And people are martyred now by the thousands. Indonesia. Indonesia. They're being martyred. Whole villages being martyred for Jesus Christ. He's coming. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Job said, I thought I knew you. I thought I knew you. He was what God considered a righteous man. But he's, most of the time, God, Job served God out of fear. But he said, after his trial and test, he said, now I know you. Now I know you. I'm going to turn to Job 42. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I will turn there because I'm closing now. Hallelujah. Job 42, verses 5 and 6. And this is after his test. This is after God had restored everything back to him. And he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. It is through our tests and our trials and our problems and our setbacks that we come to really see who God is. We can't have a testimony without a test. Did you know that? We cannot have a testimony without a test. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye have seen thee. He said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He said, I repent. Because when I was going through this trial, I see how faithful my Father is. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always with us. He always has our best interests at heart. And if we don't faint, He will bring us through. We will rejoice. Weeping may last for the night, but joy will always come in the morning. And He will always restore all that the caterpillar and the canker worm and the palmer worm and the locust have eaten away, like in the day of Joel, in the day when Joel penned that prophecy. He said, I will restore. I will restore. He never brought judgment to Israel without bringing restoration. Read in the Old Testament. Every time Israel went into captivity, every time Israel was judged, and God used another nation to come in and judge Israel, God always balanced it with, I will restore. Ultimately, right through to Revelation. In And he said, I will bring judgment for my people. He said, I will repay the enemies. We look at Israel today, and we see how many nations around her are hostile. And suicide bombers every single day. Almost. God is going to bring restoration to Israel. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will bring my people out. For the Bible has declared, prophetic, all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. No matter how much they have to go through now, they're locked into prophecy. It's already moving. It's already moving forward. God will come, because all her neighbors will come as for a spoil. And God is going to step in. That big battle of Armageddon. That will be all the Muslim nations, as well as Europe. The only nation that Israel will have on her side is the United States of America. But what is America against the whole world? Yes, we could send our troops. We could send our battleships, and we can go like the powerful America. But when Europe come together, the United States of Europe, and all the Muslim nations, and the East, which is China, come across the Euphrates River, what can America do to help poor little Israel? But you see, it's not America that's going to get the glory. Shut up, Uncle Sushi. It cannot be America that's going to get. Oh, I feel the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah.